Gracious God, open our hearts to new ways of hearing, new ways of understanding, new ways of bringing Scripture alive, so that you might enter our hearts more deeply than before. Amen. Okay, here's an article, verbatim. On August 30th, a group of tourists spent hours on Sunday night searching for a missing woman near Iceland's Elgja Canyon, only to find her among the search party. The group was traveling through Iceland on a tour bus and stopped near a volcanic canyon. Soon there was a word of a missing passenger. The woman, who had changed clothes, didn't recognize the description of herself and joined the search. But the search was called off at 3 a.m. when it became clear the missing woman was in fact accounted for and searching for herself. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first read that story, I thought, what kind of idiot doesn't realize that they're searching for themselves? But after this morning's scripture, I'm so sorry I had that thought. The kind of person who does this is one who hears that one part of the group is missing and immediately drops whatever they're doing to find them. Because the whole of the group is sacred and the missing piece becomes a loss. I don't know how long they had been traveling together as a tour group, because it doesn't say. It doesn't say whether or not they were all very close. I've got to think they were not very close, or else it would have been clear that one of them had changed clothes. Clearly, nobody was keeping an actual head count. So I'm assuming that the leader announced that one was missing and the rest decided that was enough of a reason to go searching. It's a great story, not only because it's funny, but because we can relate to getting so caught up in a search that we forget ourselves. And we can be swept away in the search for finding things like our wallet or our keys or our phone. And we forget about the day entirely because in those moments, the day can't go on until we find that thing. Then sadly, and here's an abrupt tone in sermon, sometimes the thing that we're searching for turns out to be another person in the form that we once knew them, like a loved one who's suffering from an illness or an addiction, when their personality is not what it used to be, and so we go searching for some hint, some reminder that they're still in there. Oh, and sometimes that works, and then other times it feels like God has completely abandoned the process. Or other times, it turns out that the person that you're searching for, like this woman, is yourself, only in a different form. You know, when you hit a certain age or a certain milestone in your life, you no longer recognize yourself. Now, that can be very positive, like maybe you've grown, you know, and some piece of yourself you didn't know you had, that you had in you, it comes alive. And then that's a wonderful feeling. But then I remember feeling, and I remember feeling that way as a young mother, you know, at about 3 a.m. when, with a sick baby and a lack of sleep, hours of a crying baby, and the ability, my ability to be patient, like I had never been patient before. I didn't even know I had it in me. But then I also remember not recognizing myself when that patience was so tried that I was the one crying louder than the baby, and the vomit was running down my back, and the circles under my eyes, and I was thinking, no one told me it was going to be like this. Then there's another kind of a search. There's a midlife crisis kind of search. Ebony, you're too young to know about this. It's the kind where you long to see the vibrant, youthful person that you used to be. And when you come across that picture of yourself and you think, whatever happened to her? This is when we're most vulnerable to searching for the wrong things, like those things that pacify you, but don't really address the root cause of the longing. You know, those things that pacify you, like buying a sports car. I remember a time with my, and Bill and Laura, I'm going off script for a minute. I remember a time with my now ex-husband, John Trotter, and we were out to dinner, and he was about 45, and someone was describing their version of a midlife crisis, and they described it as, you know, the cliche, which is a sports car and a young blonde. And so I turned to John and I said, what do you think your version of a midlife crisis is going to be? And he said, I don't know, a sports car to blonde sounds pretty good to me. So for his 46th birthday, I borrowed a friend's Porsche and I put on a blonde wig and I picked him up from work. So you can still have those good memories post-divorce. To be swept away in search for wholeness, whether personally or for the good of the whole group, the whole community, that is a search for God. Becoming whole again, this idea of wholeness is what we mean when we say the word shalom. You know, shalom is usually interpreted as peace, but it's also about becoming whole again. It's a sense of well-being, of being in communion with God and others. And it's always a blessing. It's a manifestation of divine grace. And when that wholeness is felt, when it returns through God's given grace, then it's time for a celebration. Each of these parables and the one of the prodigal son, which we didn't hear this morning, they all end with a party. I have to wonder whether or not that search party in Iceland had any kind of a party at 3 a.m. when they realized the woman had been with them all along. No, I imagine instead that they probably got annoyed with her. And then they grumbled. I mean, you can just hear them grumbling, can't you? What a waste of precious sleeping time, stupid woman. I can't believe she didn't realize it was her we were searching for. She ruined my whole trip. Grumbling. That's what the scripture tells us the Pharisees and the scribes did. Pharisees and the scribes, those are the elite. Those are the educated, respected folks in Jesus' circle. They are the insiders of the religion. They are the ones in covenant with God. And they're grumbling too. Why? Because Jesus is concerned with the whole of the group. Balaj, we'll see you after worship. Please stay if you want. We have sandwiches and donuts after, okay? So they're grumbling too. Why? Because Jesus is concerned with the whole group. Only his group extends beyond the neighborhood, beyond the synagogue, beyond the assisted living facility, beyond the church, into circles that threatens the covenant in the eyes of those who have been keeping a roof on that temple. Their whole way of being is perceived as threatened because this new guy that they came to hear is inviting tax collectors and sinners into the whole of the group. Can't you hear them? Can you see them? They're just some good, God-fearing folk gathering over a potluck after worship. There's a jello mold with a dollop of mayonnaise, and the punch bowl is out because it's a special occasion, and there's candles lit because, as we know, that's exciting. And then there's a meaningful conversation and some excellent teaching rabbis. It's got them all thinking, and some are calling him the Messiah. Others are calling him the best teacher they ever heard, and others are calling him a prophet. And then it's time to eat, and the ones who paid for the party begin to grumble. He's letting the tax collectors in? Well, I know that guy. I just got into him with it a few months ago. Every year he takes my hard-earned cash, and what do I get out of it? And then another grumbles back, and then look at all those sinners, he says. That one cheated on his wife, and that one just got released from prison, and that one, I mean, he has no dietary laws at all. He's eating gluten, for God's sake. It's disgusting. And then they begin to grumble as a group. Our traditions matter. Our codes matter. Our covenant matters. Those people are going to hurt the integrity of everything we've built. In other words, they say, there goes the neighborhood. And the teacher, the rabbi, the prophet, the Messiah, he hears them grumbling because God hears everything, including our grumbling. And he pauses. And he smiles in that way that he does just before he's about to have a little fun with them. And he picks up his chalice and he tosses his long hair back. And then he tells them a story about a lost sheep and a lost coin and a lost son. They're all lost, they're all found, and they all have a party to follow. Only maybe his story isn't about the lost as much as it is about noticing who's missing. And perhaps it's the ones who have the most who fail to see what's missing. Don't you see, the teacher says, the peace of God, shalom, is achieved when wholeness is returned. And that includes all who are lost, all who are missing, including those who are blinded by their own privilege. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are the ones who should be searching for the lost and for the missing. We are the ones who are now concerned with the wholeness that awaits all of us through the grace of God. And we can't do that in ivory towers through glass windows. We can't do that by holding on to the past and wishing that it was the way it used to be. God is always doing a new thing and welcoming and inviting new people in. That takes empathy and grit. It takes diligence and perseverance, and mostly it takes prayer. Oh, and then one of the scribes mutters and says, nonsense. Walks away, moves to Norway. Another revokes his membership from the temple and decides to join the temple down the street that ascribes to his views, where the preacher only preaches to the choir. But then another one just sat there. And he stared at this teacher. And he exhaled. And he slowly picked up his cell phone, and he decided he's going to create an app that employs a search party to go out into the streets and invite every beggar, every prisoner, every single and widowed mother, every leper, every weirdo, every pain in the you-know-what into his life, because it was time to celebrate like they had never celebrated before. Why? Because that man had been lost and now is found. He was lost in his judgment and his critique of the other. He was lost in his self-righteousness and lost in all that he had, unaware of what was missing. What would it be like if we celebrated every time we saw someone who hadn't been to church in a while? What if we all searched them out? What if it was also a celebration that each one of us made it here again for another Sunday? I see us welcome one another. That makes me smile. It makes me feel good all over. But what makes God smile is when each of us search out those who haven't been here or those who are suffering, especially the ones you don't know the name of. We talked about this a little bit in our deacon meeting. We named all the ways that this can feel awkward when you don't know someone. Some might not want the attention. Some might prefer to be left alone. But no one begrudges an invitation. You know, I'd love to take you to some coffee sometime. That's an invitation. Good to see you again. Remind me of your name. That's an invitation. Tell me your life story in the time it takes you to eat that donut. Some might not like the attention, but God smiles when we try. You know who's better at this in our congregation than anyone, and I so wish he was here today? Ara. Ara will take credit for every single one of your membership, whether you ever met him or not. Because that's the way he lives his life. And he lives it that way so much that he reminds me of how that woman in the search party can be so swept up in the search for one missing part of the whole that she doesn't even recognize that it's her that they're searching for. That's a joyful kind of mistake because it's born in the concern for the whole and the concern for the other and the concern for the one I don't know. If you've ever listened to Ara celebrate his accomplishments as an evangelist, there is such a joy in his voice. He celebrates his own accomplishment, to be sure, but it's born out of his concern for the whole church. That's the kind of concern God calls upon us to have for the whole world. We're more than one nation. We're more than one county or one city. We are human beings first, called upon by Christ to seek out who is missing, who is suffering, who is in need. And maybe, just maybe, at the end of that search, you'll discover it was you were searching for all along. Amen.